Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. This is the latest episode of, I'm still going to call it a new podcast, because for me, it feels new.
Still fresh.
Still fresh. I'm hoping this is going to be a fairly monumental episode, because I am joined by the very newly wedded...
Boom!
Mr. JWW. Now, welcome to Behind the Glass.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
We are currently sat in your Ferrari... 458 Speciale.
Which is quite significant.
Massively significant.
Well, for us both.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you want to tell the story?
I will kick things off with a story.
Okay, cool.
So, I think we originally met maybe 2.5 years ago now.
Yeah.
On a rally organized by the lovely Shmi 150.
Yeah.
It was a group of his friends. For some reason, I ended up on it. and you were there in a black Audi R8 V10 Plus.
Correct.
We didn't necessarily hang out that much on that tour. Like, it was a big group. Like, everyone got to know each other, but
it was
not like...
It was just a quality road trip.
It was just a quality road trip. And at the time, I always noticed you had a big stills camera with you, a big photo camera and you were taking a lot of pictures. And I was always like, oh, who is this guy? And there were, like, rumors, oh, he's done some stuff with, like, clothes, and, like, oh, like... And it was like, who is he? And then you kind of disappeared into the ether, and we didn't think about it again.
That's right,
until 6 months or so later, and Paul and I bumped into you at Salon Privé.
Correct.
And we were like, Good to see you again. And you said, guys, I've just bought a GoPro. I'm thinking about making a video in my
R8. Yeah.
But I don't know how to talk. I don't know what to say.
I always thought I was a behind the camera guy, not an in front of the camera guy.
And I remember you saying, like, you guys are already doing stuff. Like, what can I bring to the table? And I'm pretty sure we both said to you then and there, just freaking do
it. Just do it.
Just put that camera up and chat crap.
Absolutely.
And a year and a half later, here we freaking are.
Who'd have thought it?
Most significantly, here we are in a 458 Speciale, as you mentioned, because once you'd got your channel up and running, we filmed our first collaboration as you being officially Mr. JWW in a 458 Speciale.
In the first one.
But not this one.
Not this one.
So, for those of you who for some reason have never heard of you, never discovered you, why is this your second 458 Speciale, you bastard?
Well, to make it even worse, it's actually my third.
Oh, my God. Oh, leave me alone.
Technically, the third one, I got super shafted by... It was my Ferrari dealer who I was dealing with at that time. In fact, I wrote a blog on it. So when I first started, this was the interlude between me taking pictures and getting it into YouTube. I wrote a blog for those 6 months that we met. Why I was walking
you
around
were
with,
right?
that,
okay, sure.
with that camera. So I actually wrote about being royally shafted because they phoned me up when the week the car was going to build, and they said, we're not going to build your car unless you give us another 30 grand's worth of optional extras.
I remember this now. I remember this.
So I cancelled that. Anyway, long story short, I ended up getting my first one, which we filmed.
Yes. Beautiful grey car.
It was a Grigio Silverstone with a sort of a Grigio titanium stripe.
Sure.
Something like that.
Sure.
Basically a different shade of grey stripe.
Some grey, some more grey. Had some really nice yellow bits inside.
That's it. It had yellow contrast stitching and it had these inserts here.
Yeah.
Like custom insert. And I waited ages for
it. Ages.
And then I'd had it... maybe 3 months. In that time, I filmed with you because you began that My Friend Bought It.
Yes, that was the start of that series.
And so I was like, of that series, and you were like, you just bought this, do you want to come down and do this? I was like, yeah, I was open to anything. I was like, this sounds great. Did that. And then within 3 months of ownership, this madman came along and offered me...
We love madmen.
We love madmen. Yeah, offered me an insane premium.
Wow.
And it coincided with me also buying a... GT3.
Sure.
And the GT3, for the value, is honestly, it's 80% of this car. It really is. It's so good. So combined with having that car and this guy put money on the table that I was like, I can't ignore that. It was like, it was insane. I thought, okay, go. So I flipped this car, and because I hadn't had it enough, I hadn't got it out of my system.
You had hardly any experience with
sale.
It. Sure.
I didn't want to sell it, but it was like, some it was fool an offer I could money, not yeah. turn down. So sold it, and ever since, I've just missed that car.
Yeah.
12-18 months goes by, and I'd spent the last 12 months in the McLaren 675LT.
Sure.
Turbo car.
Yep.
Those of you who have watched my channel and videos on that will know that I was, my brain was recalibrated. Like the day I got in that car, I was blown away. But over time, I realized that I was so reliant on my kicks from that car were coming from its performance. They were coming from speed.
Sure.
And sometimes I'd be driving down a British country road and I look down at my speedo and think, how the hell have I arrived here?
Yeah.
You know? Because it's effortless.
But the McLarens do seem to do that.
Unbelievably
just
so.
Just reach
yeah.
unbelievable speeds without a
With
huge
zero
amount
effort,
of... Yeah.
yeah. And there's pros and cons for that, but basically, the more time that I started spending time with naturally aspirated cars,
sure.
the more I longed for them. Like, well, the more time I spent with turbocharged cars,
yeah.
the more I wanted naturally something. Aspirated cars.
And you first really started vocalising this on our Top Marks trip earlier this year.
Correct.
Well, at least to me, that was the first time I really heard you kind
there
of shouting about
two
it.
Two big tipping points.
Okay.
That road trip
sure.
where we'd enter a tunnel. You'd had a whacking great exhaust on yours, so it sounded brilliant. Obviously, Paul's Lambo was crazy. Seb had just had his Lotus,
yep.
so it sounded fantastic. And we'd be like going through tunnels, and everyone would drop a car and go, and then I'd go,
clack.
And I just thought, this isn't giving me the theatre that I want.
Sure.
You know? But the performance of the car was great, etc. And when we were on the right road, it was brilliant. And then I started doing quite a lot of work with Formula E.
Okay.
And I did some presenting for Panasonic Jaguar Racing during Formula E at their Monaco Grand Prix. So spending a lot of time now around electric cars.
Sure.
So I'm around electric cars,
like,
I'm around turbocharged
my
cars.
My life is going to hell.
Yeah. We'd been on the drive of the 720S.
Of course.
Basically saturating myself in all of this turbo stuff. Lots of performance, not so much
yeah.
theatre.
And future.
And future. Anyway, so I'd spent 4 days intensely on Formula E. And at the end of the day, I walked up to the new Starbucks, which is...
Okay.
So in...
Little
Monaco,
side story.
New Starbucks, Fairmont Hotel. If when you're on the roof of it, you can look over and see the F1 tunnel where
yep.
the cars enter. Well, this was a normal day, and I got my Frappuccino.
Sure.
And I'm leaning
sure.
on the wall, and I'm
yep.
watching cars go, and I hear this.
You're like, what's that?
And then as this car came out of the tunnel, this guy anchored on and just went down, and it was a Speciale.
Oh.
And the straw fell out of my mouth, and I just went, damn.
Yeah.
like,
this is expensive.
I knew
this is very expensive.
The second the car left that tunnel, I knew it was going to be expensive.
Oh, God.
And yeah, and it was just like, I came full circle.
Yeah.
And it gave me goosebumps. And all of the memories of how good that small amount of time with this car was just came flooding back. And that was it. So 3 months. Three weeks after.
Yeah,
I got this.
It felt like it came out of nowhere. The decision, like,
I don't know that,
honestly,
yeah.
you were like, "Oh, guys, again," and boom,
yeah,
done.
And then just done. Yeah.
I do want to come on to a lot of other topics because
sure.
a lot of your audience and most of mine will know some of these stories, but it's important to recap for those that don't. But very quickly before we move on, how did you find this particular car? Because my good lord, it's
yeah.
unreal.
Just browsing the classifieds.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you looking for anything particular? Did you want something different to the first car?
So, do you know what? When I've gone to shows like the Festival of Speed and we have the sort of luxury of being able to interact with our audience directly, the number one question there was, do you prefer this spec of the car? You know, do you miss your old one? Why did you go red? Purely my tastes have evolved since then.
And you were just browsing and you went, that one looks nice.
Hugely. Well, I was browsing for maybe 2 weeks, and there was nothing that was really standing out. There was lots of the sort of launch spec, Rosso Corsa, not stripe
sure.
vibe. Cool.
Cool.
But I'm just not a Rosso Corsa fan. It's got a flat paint. There's lots of black cars, and there's just nothing that stood
really
out.
Went,
and I thought, if I'm going to spend this kind of money, I want it to be standout.
Yeah.
And I actually gave up. Number one was the prices were insane.
Insane.
Just daft, and I'll tell you about that. And number two, the specs just weren't jumping out. I left it 3 days, tiny amount of time. Went back online, piston heads as my like go to, like tabs straight open. And I was scrolling down fast because you know what's there, you look at the classified so much,
it's
you
so
know
bad.
What's there.
Yeah, it's so bad.
And I flicked my mouse, organized price high low.
Yeah.
Flicked the
mouse. Gotta get past this crap.
And the like Pantones of the colours were mapped in my head.
Sure, so you knew what was there.
Like this, and I saw this flash of colour and I was like, hold on. Scroll back down, and this was there. It had been on for 24 hours.
Wow.
So I phoned them up. It was on for $350. And I thought, it's too much money. It's too much.
Way too much.
I just can't do that. So I phoned them up thinking there might be some room for dealing. I was like, I really like it. I knew I wanted it before I even seen it.
And you're like, oh damn it, I am spending $350, but let's see if I can get any less.
And I was like, you know, interested in this car, asking some questions, any room for, you know, any deals to be done here? The guy was like, oh, it's in on sale or
return.
So straight away I'm like, ugh. Not great. But I'll phone the client and I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Just to interject again, for those of you that are unfamiliar to the car buying and selling, sale or term means that an owner will give their car to a dealership and ask them to sell it for a small commission.
Exactly.
So the dealership don't own the car.
Yes.
The owner dictates the price.
Correct.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Which normally means the owner doesn't need to sell it.
Yeah.
Because exactly. They don't have to, because like,
they're in no
they
rush.
Haven't Partex'd it. Yeah. They're just like, if it goes.
Yeah, yeah, whatever, put it up. I need to clear some space in my garage.
Well, literally. So the guy phones back 15 minutes later.
Wow.
Knocks 25 grand off. In 15 minutes.
Wow.
Well, I was like, is there a problem with this car?
Yeah,
like,
that's not a good sign.
So I was like, okay, I'll come down and see it, expecting there might have been some like damage repair or something. Went down, car was immaculate. So when a pre-owned Ferrari is in an official Ferrari showroom, it has to go through 120 point inspection to qualify as being a Ferrari approved car.
Absolutely.
Other than the mileage, Ferrari say this is effectively a brand new car and anything that's wrong with it we've fixed, etc. So it was all approved. So I was like, so why the why
what's,
the
what's happened? Yeah, yeah.
The guy goes, oh, dude's waiting on a LaFerrari Aperta. Just wants to make room in his garage.
So, oh my god!
Like,
the life of the rich,
I'm like,
eh?
What?
The life of the rich. I need to clean out some space.
I just need to get rid of. Wow. Let's move the Speciale. Get that out of the way.
Someone sell it.
Yeah.
Give it to someone to sell.
Turns out he had a matching paint TDF. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
This guy's not messing around.
This guy's balling so
not
hard.
Messing around.
I liked it because the guy was an enthusiast.
Sure.
Used it. It had like 2,500 miles on it, so it was used but not crazy.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Controversially, no stripe. Sports stripe or not. It was just
But
black.
I like that.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Well, when I saw it, the only reason I think it works is because the fleck. So this paint is called Rosso Fiorano.
Okay.
And it's a triple layer sort of pearlescent paint.
Sure.
So when it's overcast, it's like this. It's
quite a
deep cherry.
Very
when the
cherry.
Sun comes out, it highlights and the shapes and contours are shown off so much that I just didn't feel that it needed a stripe.
It looks beautiful.
So it worked. Anyway, I saw it and little did the salesman know, but he'd already got me.
Yeah.
So
and you're like, oh, I'm
then trying to pick some fault. I was like, you know, what do you think about resale with no stripe? And he was like, well, you're here. Yeah. I was like, damn it.
So you really got me there.
Yeah, true.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I hate you.
So I was like,
wow,
job done.
There we go.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I say, what a sort of transformation, or what a story from the beginning of your YouTube really life till now. And that's kind of what I want to come back to, because as I say, a lot of the audience will know that those sort of stories. But what I want to understand a bit more is that when we first met to do the first Speciale video, I'm pretty sure you were still filming on an iPhone and one GoPro.
Yeah, yeah.
And at least at the beginning, it was iPhone only, and it evolved. But now, I think very much your videos and your content is regarded as some of the highest produced. You know, you get a lot of comments about the quality, the time, the effort that goes into Was it a gradual evolution? Was it something that you always knew you wanted to create this quite high-end style of content? Or you just fell into that way? How did that happen?
It was... I always knew. I think... I'd like to think that I come from a creative thinking background.
I'm a very creative guy.
Like, yeah, I'm such an artist and producer. I think one of the things that I was aware of was that I was entering into this space that was what we thought at the time was saturated, but now it's
everyone's
got a camera out. So I thought, you know, what can I bring to this that is going to add value and differentiate and complement that space?
Sure.
I didn't want to just rock up and be a me too, you know? And I think from the creative standpoint, it got my juices flowing that I thought, well, if I spend a bit more time filming, a bit more time editing, not necessarily put out as much content, then I think I'd like to be able to add that angle.
Sure.
And so, in contradiction to that, I started on my iPhone.
But that's the thing, that's what I mean. Like, if that was your goal, early on, I always knew that was the route I wanted to go as well. So I was that fool who went out and bought like loads of cameras without really knowing what to do with them.
Yeah.
And they were all very cheap cameras, but I was like, I want multiple angles, I want music.
Absolutely.
But you started off, you went, okay, I'm just going to kick off with the iPhone.
Well, it's amazing what you can do. To be honest, the iPhone was my talk to camera.
Sure.
The GoPro was my, like, so if you saw how I shot back then, I had one GoPro.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We're doing a podcast, so there's four cameras on this here. So the way things have changed is mad. But I would drive 30 seconds, stop, get out, stick it on a different angle, drive 30 seconds, stop, get out, different angle, just to get as many angles as I could on one GoPro. You know, and now you rig it up with six GoPros, do it all in one take. And I think I just found this flow that worked for me.
Sure.
But what I didn't want to do, because I didn't know, I didn't know for a long time if I was going to pursue this anything further than just fun.
Sure. Okay. No, fair enough. In the beginning, you don't want to go crazy.
So, and I also get asked this a lot as well. You know, if you want to start, what do you reckon? I'm sure, you know, you get it asked all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the number one thing for me is that just don't focus on equipment. I think content is king. Story is king. You know, some of the things, it's funny that we've come this full circle and we're talking about quality and different angles. The last few days I've been doing live content back on my iPhone, and it's as rough as and ready as you're ever going to get, ever. But I think it's, again, that it's not trying to be that. It's giving you the rawest, most purest, real, truthful insight into what is happening.
That's exactly it. You know, there's so many things. I think both you and I like to create very high-end quality style of content. Mm. However, there are plenty of opportunities that come around where you can't do that, but also the opportunity or the content itself speaks in its own volumes. You know, I think we're going that extra length to sort of polish it, as so many YouTubers do, but fundamentally, the story is what's important.
Everything. It's everything.
And there have been plenty of occasions where I think, you know, I've stuck a GoPro up facing forward and facing backwards.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah.
And then that's a video, and it can be great, and it can be entertaining and enjoyable. We're just the fools that go like, I'm going to After Effects all of this.
And we've spoken about this quite a lot, that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to, if it's not Spielberg, forget it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? sort of thing. Whereas I've done... So I always said that I would never do content for content's sake.
Sure.
If I had a video, cool. There's been a few exceptions where I've felt... I haven't put a video out for... maybe a week. I think it's the longest I've been without putting...
Okay.
Since I've started is about a week. Other than when I was ill, which I'll tell you about, because that, for me, was the tipping point of taking it
seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
But those few times where I'm like, I'll just talk about something, and as you said, I put a GoPro forward and backwards and spoke about something, and I was a little bit like, I'll put it out, but I'm not sure how it'll do. And people were captivated by the words coming out of my mouth, in terms of it being insightful or entertaining or valuable content. It doesn't have to be slow motion drifting.
Yeah.
If you're providing value through entertainment, through information, you don't have to be a super produced piece of content every time.
So,
yeah.
Thinking about that, do you ever get tempted to just be like, I'll just do everything live. Why am I busting my balls? Because the stuff the famous, you know, behind the scenes YouTuber complain, oh, no one understands
how hard
we work.
What's going on.
But we enjoy it, but there's a lot of time and effort into editing, you know. And I think as a creator, I can see and I know how much time and effort goes into the content you are making.
Mm.
Are you ever tempted to just go, screw it, I'm gonna change my channel up a bit, I'm just gonna make these super simple videos and to make sure that the storyline and the content is, you know, is strong without needing to be a...
Yeah. Lately, definitely. But I've only did... You know, yesterday was my second live video. And I was actually forced into it. Because I
yeah, GoPro broke,
GoPro,
right? Yeah.
My GoPro broke. After getting, like, all of these great angles. And I was so, so pissed off.
Yeah. The rage is inside you. Like, wow.
It was amazing. So I was on track. Two single-seater cars. And I got this camera facing back off the other race car filming me going around. It was wicked.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got back and it just popped out of its casing and I'd lost all of this this footage. Anyway, so I was like, I did a live the week before and I was in an environment where I thought, you know what, there's a lot going on here. That really helps.
When
there's a lot going on,
sure.
Events are good for that. So I just thought, screw it. I'm going to go live.
I'll go live.
And I've noticed, like, for example, when Paul goes live, he always already knows when he's going to go live. So he'll put out an Instagram post and go... Tune in tomorrow at 2:00, I'm going to be going live. I just went live.
Yeah. Hello, anyone there?
Yeah, and that's happened twice now, where I've been caught off guard and been like, this environment isn't as conducive to the quality that I want to put out.
Sure.
Let's go, let's flip it on its head and go, screw the quality.
We're going live.
Here's the reality. That video did over 100,000 views in 2 days, you know?
Wow.
And they're the moments where I've gone out. Do you remember that? I did a video... I was working with a brand and they supplied a Porsche GT3 RS.
Yes.
We went to Red Rock Road.
Yes.
Drones.
Yes.
Soft focus. Like, we were suction mounting DSLRs.
Oh, you went all out.
It was like
all
a out. Proper job and it flopped. Cool.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I went live with my phone. I didn't have to edit anything.
Walked around for 30 minutes, chatted away.
Job done, and it's on for 100,000 in less than 24 hours. So
that's, it's a weird world, YouTube, in that where I think personally you want to create the best content
that's
you
it.
Can.
Yeah.
That for me, that's always it. I want to deliver the best possible content I can because
Absolutely. That's
where I get the enjoyment. But also that's what I want to do. Mm. That's what I want my channel to be about.
Of course, yeah.
But sometimes the opportunities don't allow for that.
Mm-hmm.
But also the time, the effort, the thought, the creativity that goes into creating it,
it's
sometimes hard to drum up, you know?
It is.
Like,
absolutely.
So it's weird that there's this other now new side over the last 6 months of this sort of live form of content, which is super basic, but can be very enjoyable.
Yeah. My take on this is I'm not going to be a live channel.
Sure.
But I think there's definitely room here to splice it in every now and again. And I've noticed people who are like, I much prefer the old stuff. I want you to be glossy and polished.
Yeah.
And then there's other people
and
who
this
are
is
like,
so refreshing
this
and
is
cool.
so refreshing and raw and honest, and you know, it is
it's the beauty of YouTube,
it is.
Though, isn't it?
And I think it's nice to be able to provide both of those things.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of YouTube is that it's, you know, people can choose what they watch.
Hugely.
So if you don't like that particular video, just skip
that's
it.
Right. Yeah.
So back on to Ferraris.
Yes.
Because this episode is going out just before I kickstart. Hashtag Vlogari!
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 How long did it take you to think of that one?
About half an hour. So for those of you that may have missed it, Vlogari is my follow-up to last year's Vlog Angeli series, and will see me driving around mainly Italy for about 3.5 weeks in tribute to Ferrari's 70th anniversary. You have 70th anniversary stickers on the Speciale right now.
I do, yeah.
Because you took part in one of the UK celebrations,
exactly.
Correct?
Yes, yeah, so every official Ferrari dealer in the UK has taken part in the 70th anniversary. And so what's happening is they are arranging a convoy and a dinner in the evening, and they meet at some nice location. 70 Ferraris are invited.
Oh.
And you go on a big 70 Ferrari convoy.
Oh.
And it was really good, but I basically haven't taken the stickers.
I wasn't using it as an excuse to beat you up on it.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do was talk about the fact that I find it quite interesting that, given, you know, all the cars that you've been lucky enough to be around, that we've both been exposed to over the last 12 to 18 months, when you were crying out for another naturally aspirated car, you came back to Ferrari.
Yes.
Because you could have gone Lambo.
You could have gone for sure.
You could have gone with a wide range of cars, but for some reason you came back to a car that you'd already owned, and the one with the Ferrari badge. And the original Speciale wasn't even your first Ferrari.
No.
You had a Scud?
A few Scuderia before
and
that.
And a 458 standard?
I had a black 458 and a Grigio Silverstone 458.
And the F12?
Two F12s. That first one didn't make the channel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah,
you are inherently a Ferrari man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not necessarily something that you bash on about like I do.
No, it's not.
I've never owned one, so maybe that's why. Maybe once you get one, you're like, ah, it's cool.
When you get one, it's even worse.
Okay, fine.
You get the bug, for sure.
The Vlogari trip isn't literally going to be all focused around Ferrari, because I know not everyone is massively as into the brand as I did. But have you found out a way to describe what it is? Have you figured out what?
Yes, I have. I relate it in context to the GT3.
Okay.
Because on paper, they're incredibly similar. I would actually go so far as to say that the gearbox in the GT3 is better. It's a super incredible, seamless shift, fast. The difference is, a Ferrari's good when you're going slow.
Yes. Yes, yes.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
That is the only line that is ever required.
That is it.
Because
honestly,
I think, especially when you look back at when I was doing the Why I Sold the 540 video, trying to explain what it was about the car and what was missing, is that, as incredible as any car can be, there is something about a Ferrari that even right now we are in it stationary.
It
still gives you.
There's this intangible exoticness about it.
And maybe it's because when you grow up, you hear Ferrari, Ferrari. Like,
maybe. I don't know, because I'm like, so I'm super open and receptive to all brands.
Sure.
And
we like cars.
Yeah, but there is something.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing that I can say, particularly comparing GT3 with something like this. It's just not special. It's a mega car.
Mega car.
Incredible,
unbelievable.
Driver's car. Amazing. But
it doesn't have a prancing horse on it.
Exactly. Actually, it does.
Oh, God!
But not in the same
way. Not
capacity.
In the same way, yeah. Damn it. Really caught me out there.
Something about it, it's more of a... it's literally that German precision versus Italian passion thing.
Yeah.
And that is really it.
It's really it. And I'm super excited for my trip. As I say, it's a way for me just to indulge myself. And originally, I was going like so hardcore with Vlogari. I was like, I'm going to do it in a Ferrari. Every day there's going to be a Ferrari. I'm going to wear Ferrari clothes.
I'm going to wear red for a month.
Literally. I was like, I have to pull it back from that. And so it's more of a selfish way, because something which I don't think I've ever talked about on my channel, ages ago, when I was still working in a previous life in an office 9 to 5, I was a bit of a workaholic.
Cool.
I'd probably gone for about 18 months without taking a day off.
Wow.
It was awesome. Full on. We'd had a really big project going on, and my boss said, you have to take some time off, even if it's like a couple of days. You got to take some time off. So I was like, what am I going to do? This is awful.
This is awful.
I booked myself a trip to Maranello.
Oh, nice.
It was like 48 Very hours. Cool. I was like, what am I going to do for 48 hours? So I literally, I got on the plane, I flew to Bologna, I ate pasta in Bologna, slept in a hotel, woke up the next morning and took a rental car to Maranello. And I was just like, I must have been like 19, no, I must have been older, 21 or 22. Okay. And I was just walking around taking it all in, and I came across one of those test drive experiences.
Yes.
And at this point, I think I had driven a Ferrari as one of those like track driving 20-minute experience days. Yeah. But I walked past and there's a big sign saying, test drive a Ferrari 1 hour. And I was like,
whoa.
So I went in, I was like, how does this work?
Is this possible?
Is this on track? Like, what's the age limit? They went, no, mountain road. You have license, you drive. I don't know why I'm Russian, but...
Well, I was going to say, were they Bulgarian?
Don't know what was going on there. But I was like, oh my God. I was like, how much? And they said you could take like a California for, I don't know, like 300 euros. Yeah. You can take a 458 for 400 euros. Or you can take a 458 Spider for 500 euros. Right. I was like,
whoa.
I mean, I already know which one I'm going to take, but I just worried that I'm not going to be able to afford my flight home. Booked a 458 Spider and spent an hour driving around the hills of Maranello. And that, for me, was like my most monumental car. But that was like, I need to be in supercars. I need a Ferrari. It was everything I wanted to be. They say, don't meet your heroes, but it was everything I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that there's somebody else I mean, I know there are thousands of people around the world, but... It's a truly special thing, and I'm very excited for you to have this car again. Because one,
it's cool to share it.
Incredible car. Yeah. Do you think it will do a road trip at some point?
Oh, mate,
absolutely.
This is top marks.
Yeah, top marks. For sure.
Yeah, this is top marks. I mean, it's been a funny. Not that there's a correct time to buy a car.
No,
but it's been a funny time to buy a car.
Absolutely.
Like certainly as well in terms of our content schedule and things like that. Like I've kind of bought this towards the end of summer
it's raining today
and our sort of road trips will probably happen next year now in terms of our own cars.
But you did it a bit the same thing with the LT.
I did,
you had the LT for a long time before we took it out of Europe,
and then
out of the UK.
I owned the LT for 9 months before it left England.
Wow.
Yeah, so I never really got the experience that I got when I first drove it in Tenerife.
Sure. You know? Yeah, which is crazy because that's why you buy it.
That's why I bought, for sure.
The Speciale you bought, and I remember that first week it was just raining non-stop. Yeah, so exactly. At least you've been, you know, you've had that same experience, right?
Well, first 4 weeks it's been on a track day.
Okay.
I took it to a second track day yesterday.
Wow, nice.
Just putting loads of miles on it.
Amazing.
The thing is, you know, from the outside it looked, and it is a special edition. Ultimately, it's just a lighter 458, and you can use it. You can daily at 458.
Yeah, yeah,
no problem at all.
They're unbelievably usable, this car.
No,
it is quite bare inside.
It's pretty sparse. There's a lot of road noise.
Okay.
There is a lot of road noise. So if you want to listen to Behind the Glass,
hello,
on your
via iTunes, downloadable, subscribable, do it now.
The speakers aren't too conducive for that.
Okay.
Music's good. But for whatever reason, I'm finding podcasts just aren't, they don't break through. Okay. Just road noise.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so, to give you an idea of how light the car and how much sound deadening they've taken out and how much weight they've taken out of it, I dropped something in my passenger footwell a few days ago, and I went down to get it, and I looked up, and all of it, like, you can see the bulkhead.
No!
No, there's nothing. There is a steering column that just goes straight through there,
oh,
and it's just
God.
Red paint. Like, there's nothing.
Incredible.
So when you drive off and you can hear like pebbles hitting the arches, it's because it's there.
It's
super lightweight.
How cool though, how
but
cool.
In terms of its fundamental foundation, it is a 458.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And as a result, use it.
What's happening with the rest of your garage quickly? Because things coming, things going.
Yeah. F12's going.
Okay.
F12's going.
Sad day.
Sad day. I just don't.
812?
Yes. 812.
I love that thing so much.
But I don't think I can get one until 2019.
Okay. Long waiting list.
Yeah. Okay. Not in a huge rush for it. My main thought is, I didn't really drive the F12, so would I do the same with the
F12? Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. I might just see what hits the open market. Potentially.
Sure.
Because I got no patience.
Yeah,
I couldn't wait 18 months. If I spent
a very long time.
18 months. LT, if anyone's been watching the channel lately, it hasn't been the smoothest ride with McLaren. I ordered the 720S long time ago, last year before the 720S was even announced.
Yeah.
Deposit down on that. And, you know, to be fair to them, when they launched it at Geneva, they made a big deal of me buying a car and that it was coming soon. So they launched this launch edition fleet of cars, which was the first 400. They were pre-configured. So the idea is, because they're pre-configured, they've already ordered all of the components up front.
So they can get them out.
Get them out early. Mine was supposed to be here a month ago. It's been pushed 3 times. Went in to see my dealer, who was like, look, we can't even guarantee you a slot until the end of September. I'm not really here September and October, so I don't want to collect it in winter. So long story short, I pushed it until next year. Now they can't guarantee me a slot until March next year. And McLaren, they launch cars like Smarties. So, you know, whereas I'm, you know, they're not going to replace the 720 next year. It's one of the main reasons that I wanted an early car was to be able to provide very early insight to these guys as an owner from a very early stage. And I've got friends and I know people whose cars are arriving now.
I went on a track day one
yesterday. I mean, to think that I went out in someone else's car on my first track day, to me is a bit upsetting because I should have had it months ago. And anyway, long story short, whether I'm going to take that build slot in March or not, I don't know.
Okay.
Instinct says no.
Sure.
But we'll see.
Fair enough.
We'll see. At the minute, this is ticking every box.
It's incredible. I love this thing. This is so much carbon fiber.
It's just a great
car. I'm so jealous. I hate you a little bit.
Well, you need to drive it sometime.
We'll do
a proper video when it's not absolutely pouring down.
Just a quick note on that, actually. If you hadn't clicked it, this video was filmed a couple of weeks ago because God knows where we are in the world right now when this is going out. It is a very rainy British day in the British countryside.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's been grim. We've been filming the new Audi RS3 today, and it's just been waterlogged and miserable. Hence why we are sitting still. But we are going to do, a moving video on this car at some point. Because it has to be done.
Wedge it into your Vlogari month. Is that a possibility? That'd be terribly on brand. End of September, potentially.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
Let's try and do it.
Okay.
Let's try and do it.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. But if you can't,
troll James if I don't do it.
Then it's off the cards
sometimes. We should probably wrap it up there because we've been talking a huge amount of time. Thank you so much,
for
coming on behind the glass.
I feel like we're just getting going.
I know.
You can talk for hours.
It's so dangerous. This is the thing which I love about this podcast, but it's so dangerous about this podcast. The minute you sit down, you could be going on forever. So you have to find a way to cap it, and maybe it just means that we'll do part two and part three and get you back.
I'm sure these guys
would love to hear more. I hope everyone listening has enjoyed it. Make sure I subscribed. If you don't follow James already, he's Mr. JWW on everything now.
Everything.
Just search Mr. JWW on any platform you're on, except probably MySpace. And you will find him. Make sure to give him a follow, see what he's been up to in the few weeks since we recorded this episode. As I say, Vlogari is imminent. It's around the corner. I'm so excited. I cannot wait. So much cool stuff planned for the next 3 weeks or so. I hope you guys are excited as well. All we have left to do is say subscribe if you're listening on iTunes, subscribe if you're listening on SoundCloud, and I'll catch up with you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.